Grab a Bible and join me, if you would, in Psalm 92. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's totally fine to follow along on the screen. But I'd like to drop an anchor. We'll read about 2 to 3 verses. I will use these 2 to 3 verses repetitively throughout the course of the message. Today, we're going to talk about something that is just really important for us as individuals, especially in being a part of this church. Collectively, we have this mission to seek the lost, to disciple the found, to make room for God and others, and to meet needs. But then there's also some individual steps that we need to take and some things that we need to make sure that we're intentional about. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, kind of on a personal level. Psalm 92, verse 12, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." Some really great promises within this text. We're going to talk about how that we can see those promises made manifest in our life. And I want to share this morning in the vein of begin before it's the end. Begin before it's the end. Father, I ask you to help me to teach, help me to preach, help me to be able to share in a way that only the Holy Spirit could make possible. God, equip me and empower me that I might be able to equip your people, God, and that they might be provoked by your Holy Spirit to that next step. Make us more effective disciples that better resemble Jesus Christ in the earth, Lord. Let it be done in Jesus' name. This church said, amen. When you look at the Bible, very quickly, there are some types and shadows that begin to point to the fact that God has no problem identifying as a gardener. For instance, when you look at the Garden of Eden, it is in a garden that God shows up to walk with his creation, Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day. When a man ultimately makes a mistake and is exiled because of sin from the garden, eventually there becomes a moment of wilderness wandering as they're trying to make their way into this promised land that God has given them. And there is a tabernacle of Moses that becomes established as the place where God would commune with humanity. Interestingly, it was made out of badger skin. It was a series of curtains. And the inside of those curtains were adorned with garden-like images, flowers, and trees. Some time would pass, and ultimately the Hebrew people would make it into their promised land. The nation of Israel, the land of Israel, they would establish a temple there. Probably the most prominent temple in all of Scripture is Solomon's temple. They say that by today's standards, it would cost somewhere around $1 billion to build. And yet, on the inside, it was adorned with flowers and trees, this garden-like imagery. Even when you come into the New Testament and Jesus begins to teach and preach about his heavenly Father, one of the most profound parables is John 15. In fact, theologians have written numerous books just on that one chapter, and it is the chapter that reveals the Heavenly Father as a vine dresser in a vineyard attempting to create fruit through the branches, which are us, connected to the vine, which is his son, Jesus. Even Jesus, in another parable, talks about the fact that our heart is like soil, and his word is like seed, and that we must properly cultivate that soil and protect that soil in order for it to produce a harvest. When you go into the Pauline epistles, and the Apostle Paul starts talking about the church and how that it will be established on earth, he says, some will plant, others will water, and yet God will give the increase. Again, the theme of gardening. You look at Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do in the life of a believer through the Holy Spirit. And he said God wants to bring fruit of the Holy Spirit into the life of a believer. And so again and again, this typology occurs to the point, even when you get to the end time, it is likened unto a harvest of souls. So God has no problem identifying as a spiritual gardener. And so then what we have to do is we have to make sure that we are allowing him to have his way in the garden of our life. Can I get an amen from somebody? Where that we make sure that we're allowing him to plant the right seeds and pull the wrong weeds. And so when you look at the book of Psalms and you see David's spin on this whole thing, the way that he says it is Psalm 92:13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. I assume I'm talking to a lot of people this morning that would like to flourish, that we want to live lives of significance, that we want to attain levels of spiritual success, that we want to be people that flourish, that we want to be people that live life and live life more abundantly. We want to be people that receive the promise that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to the power that he will deposit in you. We want to flourish. That's something that we long for. It's something that we desire. It's something that hopefully we're exercising faith towards. But what this passage points out is that there's something that we must be intentional about before we experience flourishing. What it says is you must be planted in the house of the Lord in order to flourish in the courts of the Lord. And so if you're going to experience flourishing, you must first choose to be planted. And so I want you just to look over at somebody, help me preach a minute and tell them, get planted. Get planted. You know, when you look at that Hebrew word for planted, what it actually implies is that something that is picked up from one place and then securely placed in another place. It would seem to imply that we are picked up out of the world and then we are planted in the thing that God has for us so that we can begin the process of moving towards flourishing. And so when you think about something being planted, what it means is that once it is firmly established, once it is firmly planted, it's not moving around anymore. It's not being dragged from here to there, and it's not you're going to put it here one day and you're going to put it there the next day. It's saying, like, it's going to dwell there. And something you need to understand is that God affirms dwelling throughout the entirety of the Bible. In fact, not Psalm 91 says, if you will just choose to dwell in the presence of God, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and 1,000 will fall at your left hand and 10,000 will fall at your right hand, and you'll still be standing just because you chose to dwell in God. And so what I've noticed about our society and our culture is that we're not very good at dwelling. We're not very good at staying planted. It seems like we just very easily move or are just pulled out of one relationship and thrown into another, pulled out of one career path and thrown into another, pulled out of one church experience and kind of thrown into another. And what happens is we're not intentional about the benefits that come with choosing to be planted. Now what happens is when something gets planted is it sets it in place for it then to begin to take root. So another chance to help me preach, tell somebody, take root. Take root. And so when we start thinking about taking root, I need to ask you a question. Do you want to be a bonsai tree or do you want to be a redwood tree? Now, maybe you're familiar with those, maybe you're not. A bonsai tree is an extremely small tree. We know that a redwood tree can grow to be up to 300 feet tall. Now, the difference in those trees is directly connected to what happens with their root systems. For instance, the way that a bonsai tree is treated is that it will start out in the open. And then someone will come and they will pluck it out. They will cut the taproot. They'll then place it in an extremely small pot. And what happens is not only has the root system been affected by this cutting of the taproot, but now because it's not allowed any depth, it's only allowed a shallow, superficial experience, its roots cannot allow it to be able to create growth. And so what happens is this tree, that if it were just left alone to stay planted and take root, it would grow to be several feet tall. But because of what happens to it in its infancy, It actually sometimes is no more than an inch tall and can maybe get to be 24 inches tall. And so something that could grow to be several feet winds up only being a few inches because of what happens to its root system. You need to understand something. The enemy does not want you to take root. He wants to keep you in a shallow experience that limits your ability to grow into everything that God wants you to be. And so you can choose to be a bonsai tree, or you can choose to be the example of a redwood tree spiritually. And the redwood tree, as I've already mentioned, can grow to be 300 feet tall. There are actually pictures of redwood trees that are still growing, that have had the centers carved out of them, that cars can drive through, SUVs can drive through. They're massive trees. And there are in these forests of redwood trees. And that's actually what allows the singular tree to grow to the level, is because of what it is a part of. Because it's not just that the redwood tree takes its root system downward. That would be to be expected. That would be something that we would anticipate, that if you're going to grow tall, you must also have roots that go down deep. But that they say that really the secret to the redwood being able to withstand the storms and being able to withstand the wind and be able to grow for hundreds of years and hundreds of feet tall is the fact that when a redwood is in a forest with other redwood trees, that the roots begin to reach out to the root systems of its neighboring trees. And what happens is those roots start locking together so that it's not just one tree connected to another tree, but it can be up to hundreds of trees totally connected to one another in its root system. So when the wind starts blowing and the struggle and the challenge starts around, it can't move because those roots are tied together. It's an incredible example to you and me of what God wants to do in our life, that he not only wants you to have a deep spiritual experience individually, but he wants you to have a relationship in a Christian community. That's why small groups are so important, because it gives you the ability to get your root system tied to somebody else as you're learning to pray and explore scripture and learn more about God. Even in a corporate worship gathering like this, I'm sure you noticed that Monday morning, if you were to walk into your workplace and you were just stand up in the middle of everybody and just start singing praises to Jesus, not going to be the most pleasant experience, most likely. But when you're in this environment, surrounded by so many other worshipers, man, it is easy to stand up against life and say, I'm going to sing praises to my God. I know I'm not alone in this thing. God's got me. And so don't allow the enemy to turn you into a spiritual bonsai tree when he has intended for you to be something that, to be someone that has a legacy and that is experiencing growth. Don't allow the enemy to put you over here in some little shallow pot where you never really experience growth and all of your spirituality is just surface level. But let God bring you into community and into relationship and watch those roots get tied together. Tell somebody, take root. You might say it this way. The bonsai tree reveals the effects of limited depth. But the redwood tree reveals that you not only need personal depth, but your potential is maximized in community. So we need to get planted and we need to take root. But I think there's also something else that we need to do, and it's one of the main reasons for taking root, is we need to grow. Just tell somebody, grow. Grow. Now, some of you know you've been wanting to tell your husband for a long time to grow up. And you just missed your opportunity right there. I totally set the stage for you and you chickened out. Grow. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They will grow. Growth is expected. Growth is essential to arriving at the experience of flourishing. That if you don't grow, you're never going to flourish. I heard the story of a tour bus that was taking a tour. And they stopped in this small town. And people began to get out and walk down Main Street and experience the different shops. There was one guy who had he was a historian of sorts, and he just loved to know the history of a place. He walked up to one particular shopkeeper and he said, "Were there any great men or women born here?" The shopkeeper said, "No." The historian was a little bit startled by that, and he said, "You mean there has never been a great man or a great woman born here?" The shopkeeper said, "No." "You mean No. But there have been a lot of babies that grew into great men and great women. I'm trying to help you this morning. Growth is required. Growth is expected. Most of us have some kind of an experience with our children where that we walk them up to the door facing and we measure their height. And they come back a few months or a year later and we measure them again. And what we expect to see is growth. If we do not see that, we know something is wrong. You are a child of God. And growth is to be expected. The growth that is likened here is the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon were the closest thing that Israel would have to a redwood. They were something that maybe could be 12 to 15 feet wide. They were something that could grow well over 100 feet tall. But they were known to be in groves, and those groves would sometimes cover hundreds of acres. And they were known for just being incredibly beautiful, and they had this majestic look to them. That in fact, they became famed over the known part of the world because of the way that they just stood majestically. Cedars of Lebanon. That what God intends for you to grow into is not some version of yourself that resembles the bonsai tree, but rather a version of yourself that is strong. And though you've maybe been through some challenges and you've been through some difficulty, that you're still growing into more today than what you were yesterday. Even when you look at Scripture and you think about what it says about growth, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter also offered this verse, 1 Peter 2, 2. He said, grow up in Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you one more chance this morning. Look at somebody and tell them, grow up. Grow up. Are you growing? When is the last time you memorized the Scripture? When is the last time that you prayed outside of a church facility? Are you growing? When's the last time that your heart was set ablaze with a subject in Scripture and you thought, I want to study this. I want to get to know this more. Are you growing? When's the last time that you chose to be a contributor rather than just a consumer? When's the last time that you chose to serve someone else rather than just being served? All of these things are characteristics and attributes of growing. Are you growing? So we want to get planted. We want to stop allowing the enemy just to pull us up and pluck us up and put us here and then put us there. We want to get planted. But in getting planted, we want to take root. And as we are taking root, what we want to experience is growth. And one of the reasons we want to experience that growth is because we are called of God to make fruit. Just look over somebody and tell them, make fruit. Make fruit. Look at this, Psalm 92, verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. I need to get an amen from an elder somewhere. They will still bear fruit. You know, God says the latter house will be greater than the former house. God says he'll take you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. A bunch of you, you're not going to burn out. And your best days are not behind you. They are ahead of you because God has called you to be a part of his plan for the earth and his plan for the church. And some of you that have got some age on you and you've reached a place of spiritual maturity, God's calling you to be a fatherly and motherly figure in his church that is a part of helping grow up some other people in their Christian walk. Not in a judgmental, self-righteous, condemning way, but in a loving, gracious, parenting way. Can I get an amen? Bear fruit. And so when you start thinking about God telling us to bear fruit, I love this concept. One of my mentors spoke this into my life many years ago. He said, Eric, the best definition biblically that you could ever find of fruit is this. It is excess life. Because fruit is a tree or a plant or a vine's way of telling you it has so much fruit that it has so much life that it can't hold it all. It's got to release it. It's got to let it go. There's so much life inside of me that I got to get it out of me. And so in thinking about that concept, he continues on with this analogy. He says, Eric, you go out in a garden, you see a tomato vine. There's nothing. Just the vine and the leaves. You go back the next day or a day after, and what you discover is there may be the beginning of a tomato, of fruit of the vine. He said, that's interesting to me because the day before, I did not see the vine shaking in travail. I did not see a nurse or a doctor beside the vine say, breathe. There was no birthing process that transpired. It was just one moment there's not fruit and the next minute there is fruit. So the point is this, fruit is excess life. And what God says, according to Galatians chapter 5, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and peace and gentleness and kindness and long-suffering and self-control. And so what God wants to do in your life is give you an experience with the Holy Spirit where you got so much of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that it's not even something you're trying to do, not something you're striving to do. It's just that life, God's life is coming through you. And when people interact with you, they're experiencing love. They're experiencing peace. They're experiencing long suffering. They're experiencing gentleness. They're experiencing stuff because you got life on the inside of you. And so experiencing or being a person that makes fruit is not so much about this striving or this travail. I've got to love more and I've got to exemplify peace more. And I've just got to be more long suffering. It's about Holy Spirit, I invite you to bring through me more love. Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to just bring peace to my mind and let the residual effect of that be a part of every aspect of my life. Holy Spirit, bring fruit, make fruit. And so I think about the parable in Scripture of the talents and how that really what God is showing us is that he expects us to make fruit. In the parable of the talents, he says, they gave a guy five, came back, he had five. They gave a guy two, he came back, he had two. They gave a guy one, came back, he still just had that one because he buried it. And so even that was taken from him. And he was judged harshly. And so I think when you bring into perspective the concept of even using your talents, that it was never meant to be this thing that is overly laborsome. Sure, there's going to be moments where it's difficult, but you begin to have a relationship with God where you realize his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And what God is inviting you to do is to make manifest your gifts and your talents and his fruit in your life as you just yield to him. Think of it like this, that Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. And the Holy Spirit is flowing through that relationship and fruit shows up in your life. So when you start thinking about your life, are you making fruit? Is fruit being produced? God is so interested in your fruitfulness that in John 15, he says that he's not afraid to prune the branches to produce more fruit until it winds up as much fruit. So sometimes God's even gonna have to cut on us a little bit and take away some things to make sure that we continue to make fruit. So get planted, take root, grow, make fruit. Y'all tracking? What that leads us to is that you can flourish. Speak that over somebody's life right now. Tell them, you can flourish. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. You can flourish. But there's some decisions you got to make. Are you going to get planted? Are you going to keep just bouncing around? Get planted. Are you going to, are you willing to take root, to pursue depth, and community and the interweaving of relationship to grow, to not be satisfied with the milk. Scripture implores us to seek even the meat of the word, to grow. Are you willing to say, I want to be intentional about yielding to the Holy Spirit so that when people interact with me, they're experiencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not my bad attitude or my latest rant or me projecting on them whatever it is that happened this week that I didn't like? And so, just some questions for you. Do you need to get planted? Is your life kind of a perpetual cycle of movement in this relationship, in that relationship, working here, working there? I get it. Transition happens. I'm not condemning your transition. I'm just saying, like, is this something that might be something you need to address? Is it preventing you from getting planted? Do you need to get planted? Do you need to take root? Like, have you been intentional about depth and relationship, meaningful relationship? Do you need to grow? Like, you know how many people, like, don't even know what they believe and are completely confused because they've just refused to grow? And one of the reasons for that is because folks been hanging out in these little superficial pots. And theologically now, masses of people are being completely deceived because there was no growth. Do you need to make fruit? Like, if we were to interview the people that know you best, would they say that to interact with you is to experience love? The people that you work with, or maybe even the people that work for you, would they say that you are a person of peace? When nobody's around and nobody's looking, are you a person of self-control? Can you tell yourself no when it's something your flesh wants? So, none of this is meant to make you feel condemned. It is, however, very much meant to make you feel convicted. Because the truth of it is, the Holy Spirit would probably like to convince all of us that we could be a little closer. And what Scripture has said is that if we will draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. And for some of us, the only thing that is holding us back from reaching this point of flourishing in God is the preliminary decisions to say, I'm going to get planted. Take root. I'm going to grow. I'm going to make fruit. And when you let that happen in your life, one day you're going to look up and you're going to see that there's flourishing things happening all around you. And coincidence will not be able to take the credit for it. Only God. Can I get an amen from somebody this morning in Jesus' name? And so I'm going to ask them to play some music, and I'm going to share just one more question and one more thought with you. Do you need to be refreshed? Do you need to be refreshed? I want you to look at this verse. It's the last portion of that verse we read at the very beginning, Psalm 92:14. They will stay fresh and green. Like, you can live a refreshed lifestyle. And I find myself about once a week, sometimes more, reflecting on this passage in the book of Acts. It says this. It says, if you will repent, there will be times of refreshing. And so maybe for some of us, we just need to repent. God, I have been resistant to being planted. God, I repent. I've not taken root. It's not been something I took serious. I've not valued having a spiritual root system. God, I need to repent. Like, it's been years since I've really grown. I'm stale. I'm stagnant. I'm not growing. And God, I repent. for settling for a lack of growth in my discipleship journey. God, I repent. I look at my life and there's just not a lot of fruit. Maybe I got a little of this fruit and a little of that, but God, across the board, I'm just not a fruitful person in regards to what the Holy Spirit would want to do through me. God, I repent. And what happens, according to Scripture, is if you will repent, there'll be a time of refreshing in your life. So don't resist repentance. Like when you start feeling the Holy Spirit pulling on you and tugging on you and drawing you, like pay attention to that because God's setting you up to be refreshed. And so that's my question this morning. Do you need a fresh start? Are you somebody that you would say, you know what? I don't know that I've ever even really begun a relationship with God. And I need a fresh start in my life. I need a born-again experience that's paid for through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I need a fresh start. Somebody else, maybe it's not that you've never known God. It's just that there's some distance, that there's some like pulling at the roots that's really went on, and you need to rededicate your life to God. That's a fresh start. Somebody else, you've kind of been on the fringe. You've been on the peripheral edges. It's not that you didn't profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's just a lot of things we're talking about this morning are trouble spots in your journey. And you would say, I need a fresh start. So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to pray. And so whether you're in church online or you're in this room, I'll ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you just to seek the Lord for a minute. And just, God, do I need a fresh start? Maybe you're here and you say, I need salvation. I need to know that my eternity has been taken care of through the blood of Jesus. I see his cross. I see his sacrifice. I see that he has died for my sins. And today I want to fully acknowledge that. I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I want to spend the rest of my life serving him and being planted according to his will for me. If that speaks to your heart, I would challenge you to lift your hand if you feel God dealing with you right now in a potent and powerful way. Somebody else, it's that rededication thing that resonates with you of like, man, I just need a fresh start. And yet still somebody else, it's that you just need to go all in. And you know it. Nobody had to tell you that. But today it resonates strongly with you and you need a fresh start. Father God, we pour our heart out to you. Somebody is asking you to forgive them of their sins for the very first time. They're pledging their life to you. And I pray, God, that you'll lead them and you'll grow them. And that, God, even this spiritual community, this group of Christians called Three Trees Church would get to be a part of seeing them grow into the man or woman of God that you're going to destine them to be. God, I pray that in this moment that you're going to do some stuff that becomes a spiritual mile marker for many of us. And we'll look back on this moment as a day when something forever changed. Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen and amen.